It is good to see you in the house of God today. Amen. I want to introduce somebody here to you today. I've been on vacation all this week, and my brother and my mother got to come up and visit with us today, and they've been here, and I want to introduce them. They're, my mom is right here. She's on the front. She's the one with the go-kart. And then my brother is here beside her, and he's my younger brother. So I appreciate them being here in our Sunday school class today. His birthday was yesterday, all right? And so we can get him a Hershey bar here a little later, trying to make him sweet, trying to help him good looking, but I don't know if he might need two for that. So, but anyway, he had a birthday yesterday. We did a little cookout last night there at the house and fixed some chicken and some hamburgers and some hot dogs and asparagus and had ice cream. And man, we had a good time with it. So, but I appreciate them being up here. They go back tomorrow. They'll be driving back to North Carolina tomorrow. So pray for them that God will bless them, give them a good safe trip back home. All right. But I do appreciate them being here this morning. All right. All right. If you got your bulletin this morning, you got your bulletin. We've gone through the Sunday school lessons and stuff in there today. Lesson outline is there where you can follow along with. All right, let's get into our Sunday school lesson today. We are in the lesson series. This is our second lesson. It's entitled Staying on Course. Staying on course. Set your GPS right, okay? All right? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Staying on course. Now, last week we looked at the mailman's creed, okay? And we use that as a kind of an outline basis for the lesson. But today, we're getting into driver's ed. They're learning how to do what they do. And in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians today, as we get into this lesson, we're going to be looking at this today. And we're going to be looking at how great it is to see folks that when they first get saved, to see that growth that comes into their hearts and their lives and see how that they turn from, as the Bible says here, pagan gods and idols to the living and true God. And I want you to see our theme, lesson theme verses today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The Bible said, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had among you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, I want to ask you this question this morning. As we look at this lesson, I want to ask you this simple question. Are we, being a spiritual ensample for God that others need to see? You know what? The world needs some spiritual ensamples. An ensample is one out of the group that will say, "Hey, listen, this is what God's done for me." An example is one that's outside the group, okay? You're outside the group of the lost world, so to speak, and you're being an example to them of what Christ can do for them. But the question is, are we being that spiritual ensample to those around us and that example to those outside that need to see that Christ is really real? You know, as we look at this thing and we think about new babes in Christ, well, the devil is trying to do everything he can do to stop them from growing, is he not? And the devil would do whatever he can do to keep a person from growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this series of lessons we're going to be looking at from 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you remember last week the persecution that Paul and Silas and Timothy endured while trying to give out the gospel to those that needed to hear it. And you'll remember last week that when he gave out the gospel, some believed, okay, and they consorted with Paul and Silas and Timothy, while yet others that chose to reject those unbelieving Jews. They chose to reject the Word of God, and they did nothing but cause trouble and heartache for those men of God. But here, Paul is writing a letter to these Thessalonican believers. These believers in the city of Thessalonica. He's writing this letter to them to encourage them, to strengthen them in their new faith in Christ, and to remind them how that they are examples, they are ensamples of the Lord Jesus Christ in all that they are doing. And folks, that's what you and I have been left here on this earth to be. We are to be ensamples. We are to be examples of what Christ can do for someone if they will only humble their hearts and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as their own personal Savior. And Paul writes here about the undeniable proofs, the outward proofs of their inward belief. You know, if I say in my heart that I love my wife, okay, but I never go home to be with her, I never take any time to be with her, I never come home for supper, okay, I'm always gone or away from her, there's not much outward there. I can say it inward, but unless I prove it outwardly, it doesn't help her to know that, does it? And you know what? We as Christians, we can say, dear God, I love you, but the proof is how we take that inward love and share it outwardly. You get that? Does that make sense? We share it outwardly with those folks around us, both among our fellow believers and among those who do not yet know Christ as their Savior. And Paul wrote here in these verses, he said, "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, I want us to look at this lesson today. My desire when I'm teaching these lessons, and my desire especially today, is to help you to see just how much you are needed, not only within the church body itself as an encourager to other people, but to the outside world that needs to know that what we teach and what we preach and what we say we believe inside the church walls will help somebody outside the church walls as well and help them to come to know Christ as their Savior. So this is a driver's ed class, okay, so to speak, keeping us on course. What does a driver's ed class do? It gets you to where you know what you ought to do so that when you go out on the road, you do it safely, amen? You do it wisely, and you do that which you're being trained to do. So let's look at it this morning. I want you to see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 1, I want you to see Paul's introduction to this letter. My sister had that cup made for me for my birthday, and she sent it up, gave it to me, and I appreciate it. So it's got some good cold water in it, amen? It's good this morning. All right, let's read verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus. Now, Silvanus here is Silas. Timotheus is Timothy. All right? So Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here he's writing this letter to those believers that are living in Thessalonica. And he loved these folks. He cared for these people because he knew, he had personally experienced the persecution, the tribulations that they were going through for their beliefs. For their beliefs. He knew what they were going through. He had suffered for this belief. And he knew what they were going through. And he loved them and wanted them to know how much he appreciated their steadfastness and their faithfulness even in the midst of persecution. And folks, listen, there is persecution going on in our world today. I don't know if you realize that or not. But there's a lot of things happening in this old world that the devil is trying to stop people from having boldness. He's trying to stop folks from having the desire to go out and tell people about Jesus. The devil is at work hard. And that's all the more reason that you and I need to be working hard. Work hard for the Lord Jesus. Now, he goes on here to identify the cause for his joy in writing this letter. There was a reason he wrote this letter. And here he expresses that fact. And that fact being that those believers were, along with Silas and Timothy and Paul himself, they were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? When a ship goes out in the ocean, you got to remember something. That ship was made for a purpose. That ship was designed to sail across the seven seas, or however many there are. It was designed to sail in the rough seas and in the calm seas. And there's no problem with the ship being in the ocean, in the sea, because that's where it belongs. It's been made to go out into the ocean. But the problem is when the ocean or when the sea gets into the ship. And when that happens, the ship has trouble. And pretty soon the ship goes down. And Paul was trying to encourage these folks because they were sailing the seas of life. They were sailing through the persecution times and the hard times. But they were not letting that get them down. And he said, listen, folks, I want to remind you of something. You're in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, that old ship of Zion will sail forever, amen? And it will never go down. Jesus will never sink. He'll never go down. And he thought about their faithfulness. He thought about their love and their being living examples of what the born-again believing life is really all about. Look what he said. He said unto them, he said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a joy it is to be in Christ and to know the grace and to have the peace of God in your life. Listen, when you look at these things going on in the world and you think, man, a lot, and everybody's going crazy and they're having all kinds of crazy ideas about things, and you're sitting here thinking, Lord, it's in the book. You said it was going to be like this. Help me to stay faithful, dear God. I've got peace. I've got a hope. I've got joy in knowing that you're still in control of things. Amen? No matter how bad it may get. If you remember last week in our first lesson, we looked at something in the book of Acts chapter 17. I want you to turn there just a moment. Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, Dr. Luke wrote here, he said, now as we, when we had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Each of these messengers of God had endured great affliction as they came into this city. They had endured affliction before they came in. And if you'll remember last week as we went through the lesson, they endured affliction after they began to preach the Word of God. You remember how they went into Jason's house and tried to kill Jason, and they were seeking after Paul, and they had to let Paul down in a basket and let him go down to Berea in the middle of the night just to keep him safe. But I want you to see here how that each of these dear men of God, these messengers of God, they came in and they presented the message of the gospel. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 now, verses 2 through 5, we see the response to that message. Look at it. We see the response to that message. Now, first of all, we see the evidence of God's election. And I don't want you to be afraid of that word. Listen, don't be afraid of that word election, okay? There's a group of people out here today that teach that God has only chosen a certain few to go to heaven. And you know, the odd thing about it is they're always the ones that God chose, okay? Everybody else has not been chosen, but they've been chosen, all right? Isn't that amazing? But listen, that word election simply means God made a choice. And let me tell you what God's choice was. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said that God's choice was to so love the world, the whole world, not just a part of it, not just the good-looking ones, because many of us wouldn't get in that crowd. Hey, not just the rich ones, because a lot more wouldn't get in that crowd. Not just the intellectual ones, because, boy, the crowd just gets smaller and smaller. But you know what? He chose to love the world. He chose to love the world. That's you. That's me. And thank God that he chose to love you and me. Hey, we love him, John wrote, because he first loved us. Amen? And so when we look at this, I want you to see the evidence of God's choice. When God chooses to do something, okay? When I chose to take Lisa Wall Stevens as my beloved wife, okay? I made a choice and she made a choice. And when we stood there looking eyeball to eyeball, sweat, man, I was just sweating and I was scared to death. I thought, what am I getting myself into? And now I can't get out of it. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't want to get out of it. Amen. I just love that little lady. I tell you what, I love her. But you know what? There's evidence, okay, of the choice that we made. There's evidence. What is that evidence, preacher? Well, we got 2 children. We got 5 grandchildren. We've had 3 dogs and 2 cats. God bless them. They're going wherever cats go when they die. And, you know, God's been good to us. And the Bible said here that there was proof, there was evidence of God's choice to love these folks. There was evidence in their lives. Let me ask you, is there evidence of God's choosing to love you that others can see today? That's what the world needs today. They've got to see evidence. They've got to see proof. Look at verses 2 and 3. Paul wrote here how thankful he was. He said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Every time he thought about these folks, he thanked God and he prayed for them. Why? Because they received the gospel in great affliction. They received the gospel in great persecution. When everybody around them was putting pressure on them and saying, "Oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do this." They chose to take heed to what the Word of God said. They received Christ. And you know what? When they read these first couple verses in this letter written to them, I can imagine them reading that in the synagogue that day. And man, they're just big old tears coming up in their eyes, thanking God that somebody would come and tell them about Jesus. And that they were thankful for their faith and their work and their labor of love. Man, when I see you folks come in, and I know what many of you are going through and the tough times you've gone through and the things you've had to experience. I know some about the joys that you've had as well. And you stay faithful. You do what you do in the love of God. I thank God for that. I praise Him for that. And I want you to see 3 spiritual qualities here that these believers displayed, that I want displayed in my life. You should want displayed in your life as a child of God. Look what he said. First of all, after they heard the message of the gospel, they, by faith, accepted Christ as their Savior. And they were changed. God gave them a new wonder, so to speak. And there was something highly recognizable in their work and in their walk. And in the faith that they showed. Look what Paul wrote here. He said, he wrote how that each time he thought about them, he remembered their work of faith. And that work of faith was a living result, an outward ensample of their inward faith. They did what they did for God because they loved Him and they thanked Him for what He did for them. But secondly, look at this. Not only did they have a good work of faith that was outwardly seen, but notice here in the very same verse, Paul took note of their labor of love. They didn't do it because the preacher made them do it. They didn't do it because the preacher twisted their arm and said, man, if you don't do this, then you're not this or that or what. They did it out of love. They did it out of love. My wife, man, they brought up some liver pudding. How many things of liver pudding did you bring? About five?
Six.
Praise God. Well, I think we've gone through two of them already. And I have to take a little extra cumin when I do that, okay? But it's worth it, amen. And we fried that stuff up. This is not like this mush stuff that y'all got up here. It's not like that. Man, this is spicy. Oh, it's niece's liver pudding. And brother, nieces, we fixed that up, fried up with some bacon and some tomatoes and lettuce and put it on some mayonnaise or mustard and put it on bread and eat it up. And man, when they were fixing that stuff up, I thought, Tim fixed it one morning and then Lisa fixed it the other morning. I thought, thank God for their labor of love. Amen. They loved the liver pudding. They loved me too. They brought me 6 pounds of it. Amen. It was good. Goodness gracious. But you know what? They did what they did through a labor of love. Hey, folks, what you do for Jesus, make sure you do it with love. Make sure you do what you do for God because you love God enough to do it. That's what it's all about. Jesus reminded His disciples back in the book of John. In John chapter number 14, verse 15, Jesus looked at His disciples. He said, if ye love Me, keep My commandments. Hey, listen, we don't keep the commandments to be saved. We do the commandments because we are saved and because we love the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, if ye love Me, then keep My commandments. And then He told the disciples, remember what He told them right before He went to the cross? When they had gone through and He told them that somebody was going to deny Him, one of them was going to deny them, and all of them were going to forsake Him, even as it was written in the Scriptures. Jesus looked at His disciples in John chapter 13 and He said this. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if you have love one to another. So not only were they to love Jesus, but that they were to love one another. And because they loved Jesus and because they loved one another, then they were to have a love also for those in the world. And this is what Jesus taught them there in Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35 through 38. Listen to what He said. The Bible said, and Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, Jesus looked out among that crowd. And He said, the Bible said, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted as sheep. They were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Where do the laborers come from? It's not from the world, folks. It's from amongst us. We are God's laborers. And what these folks were doing for the Lord, they did because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They were thankful for what Christ had done for them. And that's why you and I serve Him. That's why you and I come to church, come to Sunday school, do what we do for God, sing in the choir, work the sound, work in the nursery. Several of our ladies are working in the nursery this morning and helping out in different classes and things. Listen, it gives me joy to know that we got folks that end up leaving this class and going and serve in another class and be used of God. You know what? Because they got a calling. They got a calling from on high. They got a labor of love that they want to do. And man, that's a thrill to my heart. Amen. Listen, if we just sat here all fat and sassy and just did nothing for God, you know, we'd have some good fellowship. We'd get fat on some donuts. But you know what? God wants us to get out and work for Him. Work, for the night is coming. Because one day we're not going to be able to do what we're doing for God today. And we need to do what we do because we love the Lord. But then thirdly, I want you to see this. Because of their love for the Lord, as well as their love for the lost folks around them, Paul writes here of their open display, of their, look at it, verse number 3, I think it is, their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Their patience of hope. Now I want you to notice this again. How do you gain a patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ when everywhere you turn, there's nothing but persecution, there's nothing but troublesome times, there's nothing but heartaches and trials and problems? How do you have a patience of hope? Well, Paul wrote about this. And over in the book of Romans chapter 5, I want you to mark this verse in your Bible. I have this marked very distinctly in my Bible. Romans chapter 5, I want you to look at the first few verses. Romans chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1. Paul talks about this thing. And Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, he said, therefore, being justified by faith. You know what it means to be justified, don't you? When God looks at you, He sees me justified, never sinned. Because He sees the blood. Amen. I'm covered by the blood, been saved by grace. Amen. Washed in His blood. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there, it's not through our works. It's not through our church membership. It's not through out here dancing a jig or speaking in an unknown tongue. That's not what brings salvation. That's not what brings that relationship with God. Listen, we have a relationship with God. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. Amen? And He leads to eternal life and peace. Look what He said. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you gloried in tribulation? Listen, when is the last time that you thank God for a bad day? Listen, I have learned to thank God for the bad days because I've got something to look forward to in a good day coming. Amen? Man, that's something to thank God for. He said, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, what a thought. These Thessalonian believers never forgot where God found them. And folks, if you want to have a peace with God, if you want to have a hope that endures, never forget where God brought you from. Never forget what God did for you. Hey, listen, that's why I keep that picture right here in my Bible. I keep it right there. When we were riding the bus, you're in this picture too. All right? There's about 60 of us on that bus. And I'm just one right there. That's me. I'm the cute one right there. All right? Right there, right there, all right? Yeah. And you know what? I never want to forget where God found me. No, oh, hey. He's young and dumb. He don't know. Hey, listen. You know what? It was all because of what Jesus did for you that you're here today. It's all because of Jesus that God has done what he's done for us. Hang on just a second. Let me finish this first, okay? And you know what? God has been good to us, folks. We never need to forget that love that God showed toward us. When we were unlovely, when we were ungodly, he still loved us. And he gave himself for us. And these folks never forgot that. Now look at what he said. Paul's talking here. He said, and knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. You know what? We're not ashamed to tell folks about Jesus, because we've got a hope that the world doesn't have, but that the world needs to have today. And that hope maketh not ashamed. These spiritual qualities in the lives of these Thessalonian believers, that's what proved to Paul and to the world around them that they really did know Christ, not just inwardly, but they proclaimed him outwardly. God's election, God's choice, God's decision to love them had not been in vain. And you know what? The work, the persecution, the tribulation that Paul and Silas and Timothy endured to give them the gospel, it showed to them also that their work, their labor of love, had not been in vain. Hey, listen, folks. Sometimes the world makes us think that what we do for God doesn't matter. The world wants to make us think that, listen, all that we do for God, it's just nothing. But you know what? When we stand before him one day, we're going to be glad that we stayed faithful. We're going to be glad. And look here in verse number 4. Paul writes, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And he's saying to them, listen, I see what God has done for you. And I know what God has done for you through the outward works that you're doing. Listen, it was God's love for them that gave these persecuted and oftentimes abused born-again believers living in Thessalonica. It was that love of God that God had for them that gave them the joy, the peace, and the hope of the Lord's return one day. It gave them something to look forward to. And he said here in verse number 4, he said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. What, man, what a joy it must have been in their hearts to know that Paul saw that. And what a joy it must have been in the heart of Brother Paul to see them continuing to live for Christ day after day. Now, I want you to see now also in verse number 5, the effectiveness of the gospel. Did you know that the gospel is effective today? It really does work. It really does change lives. Look at this. He said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Listen, Paul's labor among them, his suffering, the persecution that he endured for the cause of Christ had not been in vain. And this was proven unto him and encouraged his heart by the clear and public testimony of these Thessalonian believers. They were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. Look what he said. The message of the gospel had been delivered in power so as to accomplish the job that it was intended to accomplish. Folks, whatever we do for God, we don't need to do it in ourselves. We got to do it in the power of God. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul wrote there, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Why do we have to suffer things so many times? Why do we have physical disabilities and heartaches and things like that? I believe it's so that we can remember that, listen, the power is not in our physical abilities to do this work, but the power is of God. The power must be of God. God uses us to do what he does. He uses the base things of this world to confound the wise. He uses those things that are seemingly unimportant to the world to preach the gospel of eternal life to all the world. And these folks knew what had happened to them. He said that the message of the power came in the Holy Ghost, meaning again, it was not man's power, but it was God's power. And then look what he said. He said, and in much assurance. You remember what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16? He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He was sure of what the gospel would accomplish in their lives. And folks, you need to be sure today to know that when you go and you pass out one of those gospel tracts and you tell somebody about Jesus, listen, God is going to do a work, but He needs you, He needs me to go out and do that work. Now look at it in verses 6 through 10, and there we see the results. We've seen the effectiveness of the gospel, now we see the results of the response. Look at this. "These dear believers now became imitators of Christ and of those men that had taught them to love the Word of God." Look what he said, verse number 6. "And ye became followers of us." Remember, they consorted with them. They joined themselves with these men of God. "Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." As a result of God doing what He did in the lives of these believers, they were not only saved, okay? They were not only spiritually born into the family of God, but now they chose to follow after the teaching of the men of God as they brought to them the precious Word of God. You know what? The Word of God makes a difference in a person's life. Listen, it's not me being a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Moravian or a Lutheran or whatever else. Listen, that's not going to help you. That may make you look religious, okay, but it doesn't gain you a relationship with God. And what happened here, they became followers of the Lord. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19? Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You know what? If we follow Jesus, He'll make us to be what He has saved us to be. And what is that? Fishers of men. If we're not fishing, we're not following. Amen? And we need to be doing that. We need to be fishing. Paul wrote here, he said, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." And look in verse number 7, he added, "so that ye are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Man, these dear folks became imitators, so to speak, of the men of God. They followed after them. They consorted with them, as we learned last Sunday. They followed after the teaching of the Word of God, and it put such a joy in their heart. They said, "Man, we got to tell everybody we see." When we went to, I took my brother and my mom, we took them up to Sight and Sound on Friday to see Queen Esther. And man, it was great. And as my manner always is, I go to the bathroom first and wash my hands and everything, do what I need to do. And I always leave gospel tracts in the bathroom, okay? Nobody else left a gospel tract. I thought, well, you know what? I got a pocket full. I'm going to leave some. You leave them where you go. Listen, folks can't follow you to heaven unless they can see your tracks, okay? All right? So take some tracks with you. Take them out. They became examples to all that were in Macedonia and in Achaia. And look what he joyously wrote here, this fact in verses 8 through 10. He said, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Man, what a difference it makes when we tell others about Christ. Listen, there are places that I go that you don't go. But there are places that you all go that I may never get to. And what Paul is telling them here, he said, man, everywhere you go, everywhere I now go, and I try to spread the gospel, they tell me, oh, wait a minute, those folks from Thessalonica, they already told me about this. Yeah, we've already trusted Jesus. And Paul said, man, it's spoken of you abroad everywhere. And boy, isn't that a great testimony to have? And I want you to look at what joy it was of salvation. Look what he said. And to wait for his son from heaven. You know what? While we're waiting on Jesus to come back, we need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be doing what he said do. Look what he said. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The world doesn't realize the wrath that's coming on them. The world does not realize what their sin is going to cost them one day if they don't get saved. That's why they need you. That's why they need me to tell them about Jesus. Listen, John the Apostle wrote in 3 John chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter, but verse 4, John wrote this. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what the joy is for Pastor Belcher? His joy about this church is to hear how that you walk in truth and you go out and you do what God has saved you to do. Man, when he gets calls from people that are passing out gospel tracts down here at the mall, and for some reason, everybody down there thinks that this church owns the mall. I don't know why. I guess because we leave so many tracts everywhere. I don't know. But you know what? He didn't get upset about that. He says, I praise God for them because they're out doing what they're supposed to be doing. John wrote and he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And Timothy was told by Paul, Paul said, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Folks, that's what our job is. Why do you take driver's ed? So you know how to drive right amongst a bunch of folks that don't know how to drive right. Okay? And why do we need to stay on track today? Why do we need to stay the course? Because the world needs to know that Jesus is real. And the only way that the world is going to know that Jesus is real, it's going to come from the lips of those of you and me that know the joy, the peace, the hope that God has given unto us to look for that day when Jesus is coming back again. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Listen, you and I today, we got to choose to be an example. God chose to give himself for us. Let's choose today to give ourselves unto him. Amen? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And God, I sure am thankful, Lord, for all that you've given us. And Lord, how that we have had the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with so many around us. And Lord, seeing this classroom full again today with folks that are hungry for the word of God, this thrills my heart. But God, later today, I'm going to be putting this lesson up on the website. And Lord, there may be somebody listening that's never heard the gospel. There may be somebody even here today that does not know you as their Savior. And God, I pray, Lord, that they will see the love of God in our lives. And Lord, they would hear the truth of the word of God spoken from our lips today. And it will put a desire in their hearts to know you as their own Savior. I pray, dear God, that you'll save them before it's eternally too late. Help us now, God. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of heartaches and trials, God, help us to be found faithful because you first loved us, and now we have an opportunity to love you. Watch over us now. Bless our pastor, Lord, as he stands to preach. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.